Together we are going to follow along with the next scripture reading, and that's found at the New Testament reading. It's Colossians 1, 15 to 28. You'll follow along with me. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And who you were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a minister of this gospel. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its minister according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And
I don't know what it was like in your households when you were growing up. I can tell you what it was like in my household when I was growing up and company was coming. Do you remember? There were times when that kind of sent shivers of fear through my sister and myself, especially as we grew older. Because that meant if we didn't already have some definite plans and they had to be legitimate and they had to be, certifiable, or my mother would nix them, that we would be cleaning and cleaning and cleaning. We would hear maybe a couple different times, maybe more, and you need to be on your best behavior, and you need to say please, and yes, you will sit at the table until we are all done eating. The list went on and on and on. Now, I wish I could tell you that my dad got away, but he did not. Mother was very clear with the dad as well. The difference is that if my dad disobeyed and did his own thing, you know, there wasn't anything she could do about that. But if my sister or I did anything inappropriate or improper, we were going to hear about it. Maybe it was similar for some of you. Maybe you all were much better behaved and your parents didn't have to worry about how you behaved when company came. When company comes, while there were some extra little rules that I had to follow, this is what I knew. My mother was an excellent cook and the meal was going to be amazing, and there probably would be fresh baked bread, and no probablys about it, there would be an amazing dessert. Does that sound familiar? It wasn't the stuff that we ate, which was good. My mother was a wonderful cook. But when company came, well, I knew the rules were going to be a little stricter. The food was going to be amazing and fantastic. there was something exciting about company coming. This scripture lesson tells us about company coming. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Hear the words of the Lord. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the work by myself?" A key to the fact that there were not children in the home, huh? "Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. I think my mom missed that scripture. However, I get it. For my mom, we were having company. And it wasn't just family. It was company. And she wanted everything to be the best. Now, it helped that my mom was an amazing cook. And there really were very few things that she cooked that people just didn't rave about. And so that was a huge plus. It helped that my mom and dad loved to have people in their home and often invited people in. So I sort of know what that's like when company's coming. And I know I kind of bemoaned about all the extra work I had to do. That's true. But I also knew this little secret about my mom. She was always afraid she would run out. And so she always made more than we would need. And I got to tell you, those were some of the best leftovers in the world. It always kind of sent something through me when she would bring dessert out and the company would go, "Oh my gracious, that's my favorite." I'm going, "Oh, there goes a quarter of it. It'll go home with them and it's not going to be staying here." And yet, there was so much joy in our home when company came. Now, I lived in a very joyful home, and so that's really saying a lot, that when company came, that was kind of bumped up. But it was so much fun. And as my sister and I got older, we knew that, especially if it was company that mom and dad hoped would stay for a really long time, that my sister and I could be off doing whatever we wanted to do. And it helped that we were pretty, you know, we didn't get into a lot of trouble. So I loved it. We got through that day before. Loved knowing that company was coming. This scripture reminds us, because I think the company that comes to our house isn't looking around thinking, isn't that amazing that they don't dust that mantle that's way up high that I can barely see except when I'm on tiptoes? We don't see those kinds of things. What we see is that somebody has opened their home, and even if it's just bologna sandwiches and Kool-Aid, or if it's the finest roast, whatever it is, they've invited us to be part of their family, to be part of the home, to be part of the people who are already there. I love that idea. I just love that reminder that this is what God wants us to know. Because in this story, we have Martha who is working and working and working, and we have Mary who is sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening and asking questions and just wants to be enveloped in the world Jesus is in. I think that's what God hopes of all of us. And not just with God, but with each other. That we can learn so much from each other and we can appreciate so much. St. Francis of Assisi has this famous quote, and I'm assuming it's him. You know, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But the quote from St. Francis says, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." I love that idea. Because we think we have to talk all the time, but what people are doing as they welcome people into their home is they're preaching the gospel of Christ. They're preaching that what is mine is also yours, and we're going to share, and you are welcome. And for that amount of time, you're part of our family as well. I love that. Wouldn't it be awesome if those same ideas were with the people who do advertising and the politicians and the people that just don't have a place to land. If we could just open our eyes and figure out a way so that that hospitality of Christ is extended to absolutely everyone. Well, as we read this passage, some of us were sitting here thinking, well, I'm probably a little bit more like Mary than Martha. Well, but I'm glad to know Martha. How did you hear it? Did you hear the parts of you that are Mary and are Martha? Did you hear the parts of you that are both at the same time? God gave us this scripture as a reminder that we all have talents and we all have abilities. And some of them overlap, but they all go together. When we had company at our house, my mom would give us a heads up. If the roast didn't cook quickly enough or wasn't going to be ready, or if something went wrong, and she would say, I'm going to need you all to entertain until everything is ready. We had that idea that we were all working together. In the Gospel of Luke, all the way through, there is this incredible theme of hospitality. It's multidimensional, and Jesus says, Remember, you are all one through Jesus, through me, but through God. We are all one. And Jesus reminds us that we are to be of service and we are to offer hospitality. But here is the thing. Not only are we to extend it, and this is the hard part for some of us, we're also to receive it. So when people are offering hospitality to us, it's one thing to say, thank you so much. It's another thing to say, you know what, I'm good, thanks. So we have parts to play, whether we're extending or whether we are receiving, right? So let's look at these women. First, there's Martha. Martha appears in this particular story to be worried and distracted. She appears to be embarrassed by her sister, who's just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening. And then she asks Jesus, the guest, to intervene and correct her sister. Now, for those of us that have grown up with multi-generations around us, the thing I did not want to hear when I was at my grandparents' house was one of my parents say, could you please explain to Laura why she shouldn't treat her mom like that? And fortunately, I never did. My mother never extended that beyond our home. But I've heard it happen. I've heard it happen not in my home, but in others, that other people are invited to correct or discipline or try to set straight other family members. Because there seems to be a code that what happens in our home stays in our home. And that's between us. And we need to learn how to work out the differences that we have and not try to include the neighborhood. Let me just tell you what my son did the other day. Isn't that awful? How awesome is it, though, to say, let me tell you what my son did the other day. It was amazing. We want to be supporters of each other and of all of us in our family. But Martha was so distracted, and she felt embarrassed, and she knew the power of Jesus. Even before Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, she understood. And she wanted to get Jesus on her side. Look at everything I've done. And she's just sitting there listening to you. And what do you think Jesus is thinking? Well, I am God. Poor Martha. And I say poor Martha because if only she understood how valued she is, not because of the work that she is doing, but because she's a child of God, just like all of us. If we can remember that. And then we look at Mary and we see who she is. And she teaches us how we are to respond to Jesus, certainly to God, yes, but to each other, to receive the presence of each other, because she received this gracious presence of Jesus being in her midst. She listened to the words that he said, and I almost, it's not in here, and I know I'm making it up, and I know you're not supposed to add anything to the stories, but it reminds me of the mother of Jesus, who watched and learned and listened to her son. And I love that phrase, and she pondered them and kept them in her heart. I believe that this Mary is doing the exact same thing. Jesus may never be in our house again. This is maybe the only chance I get to sit at his feet and listen and ask questions and learn. In the Gospel of Luke, all the way through the book, we see that seeking the kingdom of God is the number one priority for every single one of us. And Mary shows us how to do it. And that comes before customs and the things that we're supposed to do the right way, the hospitality rules and all of that. Even before all of that, we're supposed to seek the kingdom of God and let that be exactly what we need. So from this story, what do we pull together? And what do we believe? I believe that what we're seeing here is that we need to learn how to receive the gracious presence of Jesus. I believe that Jesus is with us always. So that means at all times we are receiving the presence of Jesus in our midst and with us, sitting beside us and holding us up. And to do that, we listen. We read scripture, we listen to people, that we know, who know that we are valued because of God. Not because of anything that we have done, but through the gracious gift and the love of God. Because we believe we are children of God. And as children, we know this one thing. Years and years ago, the movie City Slickers came out. And I just absolutely adore that movie for so many reasons. But especially because Mitch, or as he's known in the movie, Mitchie the Kid, when he became a cowboy, what he learned throughout this amazing journey that he had with his friends is what one of the cowboys taught him. It's just this one thing. And when Mitch asked the cowboy, "What do you mean it's just this one thing?" And the cowboy looked at him and said, "You'll discover." And what he discovered is, this one thing was what he found in the relationship he had with his wife and his children. What I believe is this one thing that Jesus is teaching Martha and Mary, and Mary already seemed to get it. This one thing is in the person of Jesus, because Jesus brings to us light and love and grace and peace. I know that's more than one thing, but it's all wrapped up in sitting at the feet of the Lord. As we go about our lives, we remember that God sustains us. God also calls us to serve at the same time. But God especially says, it's this one thing. It's the relationship that we have of love. There is a place, someplace in the United States, but they named their church Saints Martha and Mary Church because they recognized that in this world, we sometimes need to be a Martha and we sometimes need to be a Mary. We need both. Especially, we need hearts open to respect the properties that we all have been given, the gifts that we all have been given, and the times when we are to serve like a Martha, and the times when we are to pray like Mary. As we go through our week, may we remember, may we hold those things together. And as it says in the book of Colossians, in Christ, all things are held together. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.